Welcome to another family Bible study. Again, we have the privilege and the pleasure of looking together into the Word of God. Presently, we are looking at some verses in Isaiah 28, and we have discovered to our real delight that in these verses, God is spelling out how we learn from the Bible. We don't suddenly have our eyes open to everything and know everything just because God has applied the Word to our lives, but it's a learning process. And we learned in first of all, just to repeat this again because it is so very important, we begin as little children. Remember in Isaiah 28, verse 9, "Whom shall he teach knowledge, and to whom shall he make understand doctrine? Them that are weaned from the milk and drawn from the breast." We must come to the Bible, we must come to the Lord, and we come to the Lord through the Bible because the Bible is the Word of God as little children. We don't claim that we know anything. We don't come with our own wisdom. We come only with open minds, O Lord. You have to teach us. And then God laid out in verse 10, the way in which he teaches us. It's precept, and the word precept is a synonym for command or for the law of God or for the Word of God, if you will, because the whole Bible is the law of God. For precept must be upon precept, precept upon precept. And then, in other words, bit by bit, we learn a little bit more. Each time, like a little child learns how to navigate in this world, bit by bit, they learn. And line upon line, and we saw the line is the standard by which our conduct is measured, and that standard, again, is the Word of God. Here a little, and there a little. Now, the fact is, there are those who do not want to hear. They don't want the Bible as it stands. They want their own kind of a gospel. And so God says in verse 11, "For with stammering lips and another tongue will he speak to this people, to whom he said, this is the rest. Ye may cause the weary to rest, and this is a refreshing." Now, repeat this because it's very important. The nature of the gospel is stated here in verse 12. "This is the rest wherewith ye may cause the weary to rest." In other words, it is the grace of God. It is the work that Christ has done. He has done all the work to save us, and we are to rest in this. And that's what we learn as we come as little children to the Word of God and learn here a little, there a little, command by command, line by line. So we learn more and more about the fact that Christ has done all the work to save us and that we cannot do any. But if we will not hear, now comes the judgment. Because they would not hear refers back to verse 11, "For with stammering lips and another tongue will he speak to this people." Incidentally, we didn't talk about the word stammering in our last study, but that word stammering is not, there are those who want to read this as something delightful, that the word stammering really is not a negative word. However, when we search it out in the Bible, it's a very negative word. It is used, for example, in Isaiah 33. In Isaiah 33, we read in verse 19, where God tells the kind of people who are coming against those who will not hear the word, so that God is speaking through them with a stammering tongue. Verse 19, "Thou shalt see a fierce people, a people of a deeper speech than thou canst perceive, of a stammering tongue that thou canst not understand." It's really repeating what we're reading in Isaiah 28. Now, so far, that word stammering still doesn't really help us, but the word stammering is normally translated mocking, or it is translated to have in derision. It's not a nice word at all. It's a very, very negative word. For example, in Psalm 35, verse 16, Psalm 35, verse 16, we find the identical word, and there it is used to say, with hypocritical mockers, same word, mockers, in feasts they gnashed upon me with their teeth. That isn't a very pleasant sentence at all. It's very negative, and that is the context of the word stammering. It is a mocking tongue. Even more pointedly, if we go to Psalm 2, verse 4, here we find the same word again, and it's God speaking, and we read in Psalm 2, beginning in verse 2, the kings of the earth set themselves, and the rulers take counsel together against the Lord and against his anointed, saying, let us break their bands asunder and cast away their cords from us. In other words, they want to have the freedom of doing whatever they want to do. Every man does that which is right in his own eyes. And so they say, let us break their bands asunder and cast away their cords from us. And now the reaction of God to this kind of terrible, repulsive, anarchist behavior, he that sitteth in the heavens shall laugh, the Lord shall have them in derision. The word derision, again, is essentially the same as the word stammerer. In other words, it's a derisive tongue. It's a mocking tongue. It is if people will not listen to the gospel, then God will speak in a very terrible way, in a derisive, in a mocking way. And he does it through those who come with another tongue. This literally did happen when Israel went after the Assyrians, a people whose language they did not know. And finally, those Assyrians, they didn't do nice things to Israel. They destroyed Israel. They are like those who come with the mocking and with the derisive tongue. And it was a language they did not understand. And we also looked at the Babylonians that Judah went after. Babylon came against Judah. And it wasn't to do nice things to Judah. It was to destroy them. It was exactly the same idea. And then we tied this into 1 Corinthians 14. And let me tie it once more. Notice in verse 11, it says, and with another tongue will he speak to this people. Now hold your finger there and go to 1 Corinthians chapter 14. 1 Corinthians 14. And there we read in verse 21, in the law it is written, and the law is the word of God, that is the Bible, and we have been reading in the Bible here in Isaiah 28. In the law it is written, with men of other tongues and other lips will I speak unto this people. Will I speak unto this people? You see what I read there? Or what God says there? I will speak to this people with those of another tongue. Notice the exact parallel language to verse 11 of Isaiah 28. For with derisive, mocking lips and another tongue will he speak to this people. And so it is tied together, these passages are tied together by this language very, very tightly, very tightly. I will speak to this people, and they will not listen the way God had ordained it, just listening as little children, law upon law, line upon line, here a little, there a little. No, they wanted their own kind of a gospel. They wanted something more spectacular. And so God says, all right, I'll speak to you, but it's going to be through a derisive, a mocking, a stammering lips, lips that you do not understand. And so when we tie that to 1 Corinthians 14, we see that 1 Corinthians 14, God has set up a test for the end time church, and we happen to be living in the day when that test has been set before the churches and congregations, and they have failed miserably. In fact, the tongues phenomenon, I know we talked at length about this, but let me just say this again. The tongues phenomenon is so crazy, it is so oddball, you know, that people think that they're receiving a message in a some kind of a heavenly language, and they've come to the point where they think we can't be saved unless this has happened, and so they even try to train you how to speak in tongues. It becomes simply a physical kind of an activity very frequently, although mixed in it is the supernatural activity of Satan, who has been loosed at this time, and who therefore is bombarding the churches with his kind of a gospel. But the whole idea is ridiculous. It is crazy. It is foreign to the Bible, except for that brief phenomenon in the church at Corinth. And yet, God is speaking through this to show, look, you have rebelled against me, and now this is what you're subject to. And we find an intense interest in this all over the world. But that isn't the end of it. In verse 13, remember that it went on and it said, now the word of the Lord, it's using the same language again, was unto them precept upon precept, precept upon precept, line upon line, here a little, there a little, that they might go and fall backward and be broken and snared and taken. That same gospel that should bring rest, that tells us about the glorious salvation that God has provided for the human race, is the same gospel that also tells us that we're under the wrath of God and indeed will be used by God on the last day as a finger pointing, this is the guilty one. They have violated the word of God, and it will be a judgment. Those who will not listen to the word of God very, very carefully as little children who want their own kind of a gospel, they want to have their own ideas developed rather than letting God develop them, they are subject to the wrath of God, because it says, and that they might go and fall backward and be broken and snared and taken. Now we looked at that phrase a little bit, and we saw that it paralleled to some degree, somewhat, what we read in John 18. And hold your finger here in Isaiah 28, if you're following this study. And also look at John 18. John 18. And John 18 has puzzled some people the way the language is. Because we find here in John 18 that Jesus is coming out of the Garden of Gethsemane. And here are the temple servants ready to bind him and take him to the cross to be crucified. And we went through this in our last study, and indeed he had to be bound and taken to be crucified. This was God's salvation plan. But in order to show that he still is God, when he said in verse 6, who are you, or verse 5, are you Jesus? And then Jesus said, I am, in verse 6, and they went backward and fell to the ground. Now, many people look at this and they puzzle about this, they went backward. Why does it say they went backward? Very curious and very significant. If you go back to Isaiah 28 now, you find there it says that they might go and fall backward. You see the same kind of language. They went in John chapter 18. Here they go, which is the same as they went. It's parallel language. Now, when you go somewhere, where are you going? That is a very curious question. When you go, what is God saying? Actually, when we look at John 18, very literally, it literally, the Greek words say this, they went into the backward and fell to the ground. They went into the backward and fell to the ground. In other words, that went means they went somewhere. they went into the backward. Now, here in Isaiah 28, it says that because they would not hear, and God is speaking to them through men of other tongues, that they might go. Now we know that that it means to go into the backward, because it's very parallel language, to go into the backward and fall. That is to backward fall. But notice there's more language here, and be broken and snared and taken. To be broken and snared and taken is all the language of judgment. In other words, God is saying because they would not hear, they went into judgment. They went into judgment, and God is using the phrase, they backward, they fell to the ground as a synonym for judgment. Now, the amazing thing is that in our day, and we talked about this, we see this phenomenon of falling backward. And indeed, it's a phenomenon that's growing and growing, and it is as satanic a phenomenon as anyone could ever think about. In fact, they call that slain in the spirit. That is, they are killed in their spirit. They are killed in their soul. And it is totally supernatural, or virtually totally supernatural. And I talked recently to someone who had really been in the heartbeat of all of this kind of activity. And this person said, you know, it is total mind control. You completely lose control of your mind. You just become absolutely relaxed when this is happening, and you slip down and fall backward to the ground, and person after person this happens to, and there you lay. You're still conscious. You're not unconscious, and yet you lay there. You can't move for a brief period of time, and it's you're just totally in the power of Satan. Totally in the power of Satan. And that is a judgment that God is bringing on the churches. They're going into judgment, in other words. We could sum this up. We could paraphrase this verse in Isaiah 28, that they might go into judgment, as typified by the language of falling backward to the ground. And they're broken and snared, that is, they're taken in the net of Satan. They are captured altogether by him. This is what will happen with those who will not listen to the word of God and begin to listen to this idea of tongues. In other words, this idea of tongues is very, very terrible. Very, very terrible. It is just an absolutely serious matter. It's bad enough to be under the power of Satan, or to be in a church where God is not operating anymore, and just be a normal unbeliever. That's bad enough. But when you actually are involved in an activity where you are literally coming under the power of Satan very directly, you're selling your mind to Satan. And that language, that this is called slain in the spirit, is not accidental. God has guided these people to use that kind of language, because it means your soul is killed. I mean, it's emphasizing you're dead. Spiritually, you're as dead can be. Now, marvelously, it doesn't mean that someone who has fallen snared to this cannot become saved. God came for sinners, and this is just some more sin. You're not going to become saved unless God does a work in you. And wonderfully, from time to time, I run into people who have been involved in this, and the Lord has taken them out. God has been gracious beyond measure. But the idea of tongues will lead to the idea of falling backward. And remember, Satan, we tied that in our last study, we won't go into that again, with calling down fire from heaven. It is his proof that he is God. He can bring judgment. He kills these people. That's judgment. He kills them by taking taking their will away from them, and they just lose total control. And the evidence is they fall backward. And you watch some of these TV programs, and you see one after the other falling backwards. It's horrifying to watch. It's horrifying to watch. They're going like this and this and this, and one by one, people are falling backwards. And you realize this is a terrible, terrible thing that is going on. And here God records it. Here God records it. Here he sets it forth. And when we tie it to 1 Corinthians chapter 14, we can see that God had set up the testing arena by this legitimate phenomenon in the church at Corinth, where for a few decades until the Bible was completed, it was possible to speak in a tongue. There was a divine message that would come in a heavenly language that others were qualified to interpret. But once the Bible was completed, it then became something that should never, never be of interest to the child of God. But in our day, as we have come to that time where God is bringing judgment on the church, we see this as a major evidence of the judgment of God upon the church. It doesn't mean that every church is already involved in it, although the kind of music that they use and some of the things that they're talking about are infiltrating, or they're coming into the churches that still think that they're faithful, because Satan is in control now. He is in control, and so it is a time of great judgment. Could it be that this message that has been given today has been a blessing in your life? Now, don't go around pointing the finger anywhere else. Wherever the application ought to be, let it be upon yourself as it is upon myself. This is the purpose of these Bible studies, that each of us might grow in grace.